Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Believe Podcast Network presents the FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer. Welcome back here on the FCS Football Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network, brought to you by two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. I am Joe DeLeon, joined by Sean Anderson after a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Sean, how are we doing today?
Well, I had a pretty good Memorial Day weekend. I just saw some family. I was supposed to go to a bar, but my family was, here and around, so I did not do that. But it was a fun Memorial Day weekend. What did I do? I went golfing, got caught in a major storm, busted up my shin on the side of my driveway. So that's all scraped to bittens Saturday night. Went out to the bars. That was okay. Almost crashed myself on a bird scooter and almost split out, opened my other shin. And then...
You are too large to be getting on those bird scooters.
I was flying on it.
I barely fit on. I would be so worried of you falling off of that thing, because I worry about falling off, and I'm not that big compared to you.
I have to one foot it.
Yeah, exactly. Your whole foot takes up the whole part of this. There's no plus size bird scooters.
I know. So I'm just one footing it. So people see me going, it's just, here's this guy on one leg on the scooter.
I can't even imagine. If like a group of people turned a corner and you didn't have time to react, I think you'd kill them. Like there's no any room for error there. You would kill at least half of the group of people if you couldn't stop.
Tragic scene in downtown Arlington tonight as approximately 11:30, as caught on the security cameras outside of this Dunkin' Donuts Walgreens, showed a 300-plus pound man wipe out six people turning a corner. He was obviously out of control. We're waiting to see if he was inebriated or not, but sources will say he likely was.
He was booked for vehicular manslaughter. I think they'd have to they'd have to upgrade you, because you're basically a human car at that point, because you're so heavy. Yeah, moral of the story, stop riding the damn bird scooters. You should not be doing that.
I mean, it's cool because they actually do drive me. But we all left at a little bit of different times, so I was following the guys ahead of me. And then I knew there were guys behind me, like three people that left maybe a minute after me. And these things go all the same speed, kind of. Like they're, the max speed, if it's 15 miles per hour, every scooter is supposed to go 15 miles per hour.
But if you catch a hill,
yeah, lapped.
Oh, I was going to say, if you catch a good hill, you would probably blow past everybody.
Oh, on a downhill?
Yeah, on a downhill. So you probably got caught up the uphill.
No, this is just flat streets, and then my weight on the scooter compared to the weights of everybody else, they were able to catch up and get in front of me. And somehow, after I left, I think third, I showed up to the bar sixth.
Oh my God. You should have just walked and
gotten yourself a hot dog from the 7-Eleven and
called it a day.
Should have just done that. All right. So I think that's enough recapping our uneventful weekends. Sean, can you share with our listeners a little bit about BetOnline?
I would love to. And, you know, betonline.ag, they have so many great prop bets. They have so many great lines and everything that you need for all the sports and NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, MLB is in full swing, all of that. We know the NFL season's coming up. You know, some prop bets that I like, which one of the co-hosts would blow out their voice in a night of drinking this past weekend.
Thank you. A lot
of people saw me as the favorite on that, but it was actually Joe DeLeon, the underdog. So if you wanted to bet on that at his plus 800, then you would have been good there. But, you know, that's the fun of it. You never know exactly what's going to happen. And watching these games, they're fun. You get a little more juice. You get a little more excited when you got some money on the line. So head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You're just not as fun as I am. It's okay to admit that.
So, we need to get Ricola to sponsor this show.
Yeah, honestly, at this point. It was rough yesterday. I had to record an open for the Draft Prospects podcast. I do the opens and the reads for the interviews, and that was not easy to do because my voice was a lot worse than it currently is. But speaking of talking, Sean, today we're going to be talking about that was the most
speaking of talking?
This was ham-fisted transition I think I've ever had.
Walking of moving, Joe.
Today's episode, we're talking
eating of consuming.
Today's episode, we're talking about FCS, FBS upsets to watch for, and we took a look at the FCS FBS matchups that we have this upcoming season. And as you can imagine, there's going to be a ton of them this year, as a lot of them were not played this past season. All of these games, not all of them, are really going to be close. There's games like Mercer, Alabama, where we can probably guess right now who's going to win that football game. But we decided to go through and look through and of these matchups, pinpoint, I think we've got about like seven or eight or so games that we think have potential for that FCS-FBS upset, especially because these teams are returning a lot of their starters. They're facing really weak FBS programs that are coming off of really messy years last year. These FCS teams that we picked, I think I have a really, really good shot of potentially upsetting some of these squads. But Sean, I do want to point out there was an interesting game that caught my eye, and I made sure to confirm it, that is being played on September 11th, McNeese State versus LSU. And the significance of this game, I don't know how often this has happened, Sean, but we have a father versus son matchup here in the sense that Ed Orgeron, the head coach of LSU, is going to be facing against his son, Cody Orgeron, who is at one point the starting quarterback for McNeese State. Now, we don't know for a fact if he's going to be starting this upcoming season. There could be some competition throughout camp, but it appears that I would bet that Orgeron will be starting at least maybe getting on the field at some point just because of that matchup. But I just thought that was so random and also really interesting because you just don't see that often. More often than not, coaches' sons end up on the team, and instead here we are with an FCS-FBS matchup, son versus father.
I'm more confused about Ed Orgeron's kid being named Cody. That is, I have a disconnect there. I don't know. I've never met a Southern Cody, ever.
That's a good point.
Have you?
I don't meet as many Southern people as you do, I think, because you're more South, or you were more South than I was.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. I mean, football, I mean, all the there was a good post over the weekend, I think, NFL Throwback, because they just have really good posts. You know, instead of, did you see what ESPN did with SportsCenter? They freaking posted SportsCenter's top 10 funniest videos of the year.
Yeah.
How hacked.
We don't need to, it's so bad. Need to go down that rabbit hole.
But, you know, the NFL Throwback, I believe, posted a picture, a little thing about the Matthews family in the NFL and how it's like Bruce and Clay Sr., Jake Matthews, all of them. Doing their thing. I'm like, this is, you know, there's weird times where it just gets interconnected and you realize, wow, some people, this sport is their entire life. And for me, it was about 5 years where it was my entire life. For you, I'd say, how long? 6 years? It was your entire life?
Yeah, six years.
I can't imagine, you know, I'll always be around it, but being that involved for 40 years or whatever it is, that's insane. And today, I think it helps when you do have family with you also, because you're just kind of, it feels like you're not alone. And that's what's always been intriguing to me about like brothers in the NFL or sisters in other sports. It was just really, really cool.
Yeah, definitely very, very cool. And regardless, though, I think this is just so fun to see because we're going to have, again, the rarity of it. It's not often that a coach's son plays football, first of all, at a high level. But for them to be playing at an FCS program and then also for it to line up where he's going to get to face his son, like that could have happened next year. Had the eligibility rules been different and there had been no COVID, that might not even have happened, this matchup. So it's just very fun. That's a game that I'm going to watch, even if McNeese State gets smacked 70-0 and Cody Orgeron throws for 7 picks. I'm still going to be interested in seeing. Like, could you imagine that coming home to Thanksgiving dinner at the end of your season? And it's just like you have to look your dad in the face after sending the dogs after you. Dad, did you really need to blitz on 3rd and 15 when we were down by 30? Like, could you imagine?
He couldn't have put in a couple more 3-stars. It had to be all 5s.
Exactly. I mean, Ed seems like the type of guy to do that too. Ed Orgeron seems like the type of guy like, oh, this is my son. We're sending extra pressure this play.
I would love to be at that Thanksgiving dinner table. I would love to.
All right, let's get into these actual matchups that we have. The first one, Sean, Wyoming versus Montana State. Wyoming last year 2-4, their best win against Hawaii. And before we roll through these, Sean, most of the philosophy behind picking these games, and I think what is going to be the hot spot for getting these right, is right. Not picking elite FCS programs to beat whoever they're playing, because that's just rare. It doesn't happen that often. We don't really get the North Dakota State Iowa type games often. But rather, we need to bank on a quality FCS team, an above average one, playing a really, really bad FBS program. And I think Wyoming fits the bill in this first one for when they're playing Montana State, who's probably presumably going to be a ranked team once they play a full year next year.
Yeah, the Bobcats are always tough, and I think it was the second year of us doing the show is when they really started making a big push. Mm-hmm. And they were just, even our first season, when it was actually the real season, Montana State, legit. And they're going to give anybody problems. It's going to be close. And Wyoming's going to have a handful. They just will. Because the recruiting pool in those states has to be pretty similar. So if you're not going to Wyoming, you're probably going to Montana State or Montana. And it's just going to be very, very close. I see it all being, obviously, you're going to recruit guys from all over the country. You're going to get California, Jersey, Texas, Florida, wherever, Maryland. It doesn't matter. But the majority of your makeup of your team is going to be the majority of the reason you win or lose. And being from those states, it's all going to be very similar play styles, all of that. It's going to be close. And Montana State very well could upset Wyoming.
Yeah, I would honestly put this in the category of most likely to happen. And it's interesting that you say it's a similar recruiting pool. It's a lot of those Midwestern states, like the Idahos, Montanas, North Dakotas, all those states in that area, they're going to pull from the same group of recruits that are familiar with those types of areas, because it's going to be hard to recruit a kid from Florida to come all the way to Montana. He's just not going to have any experience going to Montana. He's not going to know what it's like. He's going to want to go to somewhere that's warmer along those lines. But I think in this circumstance, a lot of kids, if they're not ranked recruits, if they're offered an opportunity to play for a good program like Montana or Montana State, I think most of them are going to pick that over Wyoming. I mean, like, what redeeming qualities does Wyoming have? They very rarely have a winning program. The best player that they put out was Josh Allen, and since that, nobody. Before that, nobody. So I would argue in any situation, and there's a lot of similar games like this, Sean, that we're going to end up hitting on, where it's just a better established program that is more disciplined going against a super, super weak Midwestern-ish FBS team.
Right. It's all going to be very, very close.
So the second one we have, Maine versus UMass, and surprise, surprise, UMass is on here multiple times. Last year they were 0-4, and you pinpointed, Sean, I don't know if you still have it up or not, the list of losses that they have from last year are very demoralizing to just read through the scores of those losses.
Yeah, lost to Georgia Southern 0-41, lost to Marshall 10-51, to FAU 2-24, and to Liberty 0-45. Now, Liberty was legit, but regardless, they didn't score more than 10 points the entire season, all four games.
Wait, if my math checks out, do they even score 20 points over a four-game span?
They scored 12 points.
Oh my God! Oh.
Let me do some quick math also to see how much they gave up. Let me just do a little addition.
3 points per game.
41 plus 51 plus 24 plus.
See, 45. UMass thought they were too good, then they moved up. I'm gladly going to clown on them. The Minutemen are garbage. This is a terrible football program.
Over four games, they scored 12 points and they gave up 161.
Oh my God! And they got lucky they didn't play an FCS team last year, because the year before they lost to the Salukis. They lost to Jeremy Chin and company. So this is a perfect game for them to lose.
UMass is not going to be strong by any means from what we could see last year. And it's just going to be it's not going to be pretty at all. And Maine, I know they they had some people transfer, some of their good players that transferred. And it doesn't matter. UMass is definitely not steps better than Maine.
Right, right. Yeah, and Maine is not necessarily, it doesn't really have any redeeming qualities to them from what we saw last year that necessarily makes me like all in and like, oh wow, they're a dominant team. They've been a bit up and down over the past few years since they made that run in the playoff, and Deshaun Stevens is leaving. Joe Fagnano is coming back, which is a positive, but that's going to be a tough, hard-nosed team. Playing them in November in Massachusetts, they're going to be way more weathered than you are. This one should be a lock. Like, if we're putting bets down, I have no clue what the line is. The line's obviously going to change by the time this game rolls around, but if we're putting actual bets down on any of these, Sean, I'm betting on UMass to lose all of their FCS matchups.
Yeah, let's check out betonline.ag when that rolls around. That's something that I can get on board with.
Yeah.
Well, if we're talking about UMass, Joe, and I believe you alluded that they were on here more than once, mm-hmm. you want to get a little homer here. I mean, it's not even a homer call. It's just a straight up UMass is a dump call, as they're going to be facing URI on November 6th. A week before they play Maine.
So back-to-back weeks, they're probably going to lose to back-to-back CAA teams. Back-to-back.
Oh, that's going to be so great.
Northeastern New England teams. And the funny thing, too, if you recall, Sean, there's a lot of guys from that UMass program that have transferred to URI. I can't even name all of them off the top of my head, because there's like a good clump of them that left UMass because they were frustrated by how bad of a program it was that they came to URI. And right now, URI is on the rise. They're on the come up. They were at one point ranked for a reason. I see them being very reminiscent and close to what they produced when we were juniors back in, what was that, 2018?
2018, yep.
Yeah, 2018 when we were 6-5. I see them being that good. And honestly, a 6-5 URI team, we would have beaten this upcoming UMass team that has very minimal talent.
Oh, yeah. And this is not us patting ourselves on the back.
No.
By any means. So if you're listening, you're like, oh my gosh, please stop talking about the CAA and how good Rhodey is. No. They're going to upset UMass. This current rendition of URI and this current rendition of Maine are going to upset UMass, and UMass is going to be looking at their program saying, wow, we just lost back-to-back to FCS teams. And they are going to have to take a long look in the mirror and say, what are we doing? What are we doing in this conference? You know, where's the light?
They're still an independent. So.
Oh, what am I so stupid for? It doesn't matter.
Well, they were so bad that they had to leave the MAC. I will gladly crap on UMass and UConn until like the end of time. Both of those programs for leaving the FCS and thinking that they were good enough to compete with FBS programs. UConn gets a little bit of props because they were competitive in the Big East at one point. UMass, though, has always been bad. They will never be competitive. They will never be good. All they have is Andy Isabella, and he hasn't done jack in the NFL. Speaking of UConn, though, Sean.
Oh, yeah.
October 16th. This one I'm not as sold on because I have no idea what to expect from Yale. But October 16th, Yale versus UConn, another circumstance of really bad FBS program that has been talked about of moving back down to the FCS. They are this inconsistent at the FBS level and on top of their conference woes of not even being in a conference. The only reason I threw this on here was just because of that, because we have no idea what Yale's going to be like. We haven't seen them in a very long time.
Yeah, the Ivies is going to be hard for me to say definitively this is an upset to watch. I think UConn's going to beat Yale. I do, and it's just because the Ivies didn't let any football happen for 2 years. And that's their decision. They, you know, they didn't value the athlete to make that big push and have them play games. And, you know, it's very, very unfortunate. And you just feel bad for the students and the student athletes who could not play. They couldn't play. I mean, I think I told you, Joe, you know, Jim Boeheim, you know, he's got a kid playing lacrosse at Colgate. Hasn't played in 2 years. He thinks that the Ivy League's just fumbled everything. I think they might have also, because what are they going to do this year?
Colgate's not in the Ivy League.
What's the one in the Ivy League? The red one.
Cornell.
That's right. Then what the hell? Terrible brain thing there. Both smart schools. Whatever. Yale's not going to be ready. I mean, maybe by October they'll have some stuff going on, but you can't just lift for 2 years. You have to at some point play another team. You cannot just scrimmage. You just can't. People don't care. You stop caring unless you have coaches that are going to keep on lighting the fire every day. Takes a lot of work to do to get everybody motivated and say, okay, we're going to play when we can instead of having an absolute destination. I cannot have any faith in the Ivy Leagues this year.
We talked a lot about the benefits of having an extended summer training camp, if you will. I guess is the best way to describe it, allowing guys to lift, recover, all that good stuff. But after a certain time, as you said, it turns into just an extra long off season into way too much downtime. And if you're not having that much contact and that much game contact, it's just really hard to stay competitive at that same level. So it's really hard to buy in on any of these Ivy League teams. This is one of the games that I'm probably the least confident in, but my eyes were just drawn to it because Yale's usually a pretty good program, a decent program in the Ivy League at the very least. And UConn, as we know, is just bad. Inconsistent, not even the best team in the state of Connecticut. After that, though, we've got September 11th, North Dakota, Utah State. And I think that this one, for me, has juicy upset written all over it. North Dakota,
oh, yeah,
explodes onto the scene. They look so, so good this past year. They did a lot of really good things. And then Utah State was just horrendous. 1-5, got smacked by a lot of the teams that they played. 41-27 win over New Mexico is the only actually notable game that I can point to. But there's a lot of things that I like about this North Dakota team. There's a lot of really, really good athletes on it. I'm honestly buying in, you know, just because of the fact that what they showed us. I think Otis Way was a great player last year. He's going to probably have a pretty good day against this really crappy Utah State team.
Dude, North Dakota flies around. Their defense is a swarm defense, and if Utah State doesn't go out there and match that energy, it's going to be a long day for Utah State. Because we saw it. We saw how this defense plays. We saw how much juice they have. The last thing you want to do when you're playing an FCS team, when you're in the FBS, is come out flat. And that's why people get upset and teams get upset, because they take teams lightly and they play flat. And when we were in, film sessions, my coaches would be very, very, they'd let you know exactly how this defense plays and what you need to expect. And when it was a team that flew around, or if it was a team that was mean, if it was regardless, they were saying, do not take this aspect of them lightly. Utah State's coaches need to say, hey guys, you know, North Dakota, FCS, you cannot let that get in your head. They are going to try to knock your head off.
Oh, 100%. I see North Dakota as one of those teams early on. You do not want to be playing if you're an FBS program.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're Utah State. I really see no redeeming qualities of playing a North Dakota team that is coming off of a record year for them. They have a fantastic athlete at running back. They've got a lot of young, talented players. They're going to come out and smack them in the face. I think that this is one of the more juicier games on here. Our next one, I'm not too sold on just because of how many guys have transferred out of Houston Baptist, but I think it's just an honorable mention category. September 2nd, Houston Baptist plays New Mexico. New Mexico last year, 2-5. Only notable wins, and their only two wins, was Wyoming and Fresno State. And I think this is circumstantially based on the fact that New Mexico, and I also lump New Mexico State also in just bad football programs at the FBS level. I just don't see anything from this New Mexico team that screams easily beating an FCS program. And if Houston Baptist can reload and maybe throw out there and be as productive, just slightly less productive offensively than they were last year, they could probably beat New Mexico pretty handedly. I mean, look at how well they performed against Texas Tech. If you can, your backups are good enough to compete with a team like New Mexico, and your starters were good enough to be that close with Texas Tech, I don't think it's too impossible for them to at least keep this game close.
Now, they don't have Bailey Zappe anymore.
Exactly.
But Houston Baptist is they're gonna get in a shootout with you. That's just what they do. New Mexico, they got to have their offense clicking, because you know Houston Baptist is going to score. They're going to give up some points too. Now, it's not going to be a complete we love Houston Baptist session. They're going to give up some touchdowns. That's what they do, but they also score touchdowns. And there's a good offense that they run. You get a quarterback that is, again, doesn't have to be Zappe, but runs the offense similarly to him. They're going to score points on New Mexico. They just will. And it's going to be close.
Yeah, I see this one being a little bit closer. This one's a little bit harder to pick, but if Houston Baptist can reload like a little bit from what they had when they had Bailey Zappe, they could potentially win that football game. Right after that, another September game, September 11th, Southeastern Louisiana, LA Tech. This one's different than the rest of these in the sense that LA Tech was 5-5 last year. They don't really have many notable wins. They beat North Texas, as in my opinion, is their best win. But when you have the Walter Payton Award winner, Cole Kelly, on your roster, coming back for his final year, he's looking better and better. If he comes back just a little bit improved in a short offseason, this could be a really big win for them. I mean, LA Tech, 5-5, but are they really that good of a football program that Southeastern Louisiana can't give them a little bit of a scare? This is a very, very highly productive offense, and if they have everybody on the field, they could legitimately do some damage.
Yeah, my Cole Kelly jersey is already in the mail, so I think we already know where I stand on this one. Rooting for the upset, rooting for him. I don't know. He's 6'7". He slings it. He's fun. He's mobile. He makes plays. It's just somebody that I can root for. And LA Tech is going to have to game plan for him and him specifically. Southeastern Louisiana, we know that they get guys that are faster than you and quicker than you. That's what they do. The team itself has never been, wow, they're really going to do it. They're really going to do it. They get ranked. They stay ranked. They win crazy games. So it's promising is what I would say about Southeast Louisiana against Louisiana Tech.
Last one to wrap us up, Sean. And this one hits that criteria again of being a slam dunk. If this is not one of our upsets, and I wouldn't even consider this to be an upset, if this is not one of the FCS FBS wins, I'm going to be shocked and, frankly, very disappointed. Jackson State, September 18th, against last season an 0-10 ULM team, University of Louisiana Monroe, known for having one of the ugliest alternate uniforms in the history of college football. Have you seen look up ULM Monroe camo uniforms, Woodland camo uniforms. Easily the worst uniform I've ever seen in my life. Besides the point, Jackson State, has finally filled in their recruiting class.
Oh, my God.
They're bringing in all those four-star guys, all those talented transfers. They're all how terrible are those uniforms?
Oh, ew.
Yes, exactly. Folks, go look it up. The terrible. Worst uniform ever.
That is hideous.
Horrible. Horrible. Like, if you had
that
to pick,
is a
if you had to pick the most random school in Louisiana to have the most ugly uniform, I would pick El Monroe for a team to have the uniform.
From a distance, it kind of looks like digi camo. It doesn't look terrible. No. You zoom in, it's wood camo jerseys.
Any camo jersey is overrated. There are very few teams that have pulled it off. There's a
reason remember that
why.
Do you remember the AAU baseball digi camo trend?
Yeah. And lacrosse did it too for a while, and then
football
started doing it. Yeah, there were a lot.
I thought lacrosse did like carbon fiber stuff. I thought that was their thing to make it look.
No, it was right about the same time when the travel baseball was doing the digital camo. Every sport did it when we were in middle school and early high school, and then I think everyone realized, oh my God, this is horribly ugly. This does not look good.
Oh wait, let's see here. The 25 ugliest college football alternate uniforms of all time.
They made it in there.
Let's see where they ranked.
Besides that, John.
Sorry. 12.
Coach Prime has geared up for a strong season next year. ULM is stupid for scheduling this game because they're going to get embarrassed. I literally do not see a redeeming aspect of this matchup for ULM. Jackson State is going to look fantastic. I don't even think we need to go that deep.
It almost feels like a money game for Jackson State.
Yes, I'm putting my money on Jackson State.
Oh,
easily.
Yeah. Dude, that's fantastic. I can't wait for this one. September 18th. Mm. I'm locking that in.
Yeah, I'm locking that in as well. Sean, you got any closing thoughts for us?
You know what? It's just... Nope. I got a grilled chicken sandwich sitting right next to me. Sorry for the mental lapses on the show. I was trying to get this chicken sandwich, and it's sitting here. I'm going to eat it.
Why would you just leave the sandwich sitting next to you? I would have let you eat it if you told me you had the sandwich there.
My sister dropped it off mid-show. That's where the Cornell flub came. And
that's
then,
highly disrespectful. I would have been very upset if that happened.
She was about to say something, but I heard the door open, so that's when I jumped on. I think I cut you off, and I said, okay, Joe, here's the thing. And then I just made some point that was just obviously me just talking to talk, just so she knew I was doing a show.
God. This is why you need to
move
out.
What a hack I am.
Yeah. All right, folks, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review if you enjoy listening to the show. We're going to have some great off-season content coming your way. Working on planning that stuff. But as usual, I think we'll start soon doing our spiel of positional rankings, conference rankings, all that fantastic good stuff. Follow us on Twitter at Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Believe Podcasts. And enjoy the rest of your week, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.